When you think about a traditional cemetery, it's a pretty somber sort of place. You picture solitude, silence, respect. The undeniable fact is that cemeteries take up a lot of space for a long time, and that means we have to be smart about how we use that land. Earlier this year, the state government announced a review of the Cemeteries Act, including the controversial renewal program at Karrakatta. I wonder if you'd be open to perhaps something a little more radical, a totally new kind of cemetery, something that incorporates nature reserves, maybe even playgrounds, or could we do some yoga and exercise classes, have a picnic in amongst the headstones? 1300 222 720. How sacred is the idea of a traditional cemetery to you? How comfortable would you be with these sort of new activities potentially taking place alongside relatives and loved ones? Get in touch. 0437 922 720 is the text line.
Dr. Hannah Gould is the president of the Australian Death Studies Society. And true to the name, she has done some studies this year which had some pretty interesting results. Good morning to you.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
Thanks for being with us. Why do we even need to think about this? I guess I want to know, first of all, what's wrong with the traditional model, the status quo?
I suppose nothing's wrong with the model, but we are facing a future in Australia where we're running out of space to house the dead. And so we have to think about ways to save space in our cemeteries, perhaps ways to reuse space. And we're also kind of starting to think about different ways, I suppose, as a society that we can respond to death and engage with it. Maybe it's less taboo than it was, you know, in our parents' generation. And so cemeteries can be spaces where we can think about death, but also think about life and social activities, as you've mentioned.
Do you think most people will still want to be buried in a cemetery in the future, or is that starting to change?
So over the last couple of decades, we've seen a huge shift in Australia's death culture. One of the biggest changes is the rise of cremation. So we've got about 65 to 70% of people in Australia now choosing to be cremated. And ashes don't necessarily end up in a cemetery. They might be scattered, you know, in your favourite, you know, picturesque, you know, villa, or, you know, seen on the Great Ocean Road down here in Victoria, or perhaps, you know, on the family property. But for those people who do wish to be buried in the ground, particularly people for whom their religious or cultural tradition stipulates burial, cemeteries are still really important spaces for housing the dead. So I think they will continue into the future.
I wonder, Hannah, is it... You've touched on there are obviously still some really traditional burial and goodbye rites for some communities. Do you think that we would be open to, say, something like a slippery slide in the middle of a cemetery? Or, like I said before, I mean, how do people feel about the idea of people doing downward dogs beside their loved ones? Like, are people actually open to that idea from the studies and focus groups that you spoke to?
Yeah, look, it's a really difficult balance. So maybe advertising it like that is probably a little bit
Okay, I went a little bit far there. I'll step it back.
Step it back a little bit. But it should be said that, you know, we did this survey of the Australian population, so a representative survey. And what we found is actually only 1/3 of respondents said, you know, cemeteries should just be for the dead and for commemoration, kind of somber spaces. 2/3 of the Australian population said, look, there is a little bit more wiggle room. You know, we're a bit more open to exploring new uses for the cemetery. And they kind of range from the kind of more mundane to the, you know, pretty radical and out there. So, you know, people were pretty happy about things like walking the dog or exercising, you know, maybe historical tours about who's buried there, educational events. They're a little bit less certain about things like, you know, pop-up movie theatres, you know, carnivals, those kind of more perhaps lively, experimental, entertainment-based activities in the cemetery. So there's a whole range.
So you jumped in after you took all that feedback on board, and you've come up with these kind of 5 models for future cemeteries. Can you run us through them?
Yeah, so these are 5 directions for the potential future of Australia's cemeteries. We basically sat down with a whole heap of people who work in the death care sector, cemeteries, funeral directors, people who do this as their, you know, daily job, and thought about what kind of directions we could go in. I suppose the first model is to maintain that traditional cemetery as it still exists, and that's really important for some groups in Australia that space is preserved. The other second model is the nature park cemetery. So that's where burial is integrated with native bushland, and it provides a kind of more environmentally friendly way to die, I suppose, but also a beautiful nature reserve to preserve the landscape. The third model is the socially activated cemetery. So that's where the cemetery is not just devoted to the dead, but it's also devoted to the life of the living, educational activities, bird watching, cafes, playgrounds, etc. The fourth model is the urban high-rise cemetery. So, you know, that's this kind of model we take particularly from Southeast Asia, and it's kind of centred around bringing the dead back into the city centre. So particularly for the storage of cremated remains, we don't need a lot of land to do that. So we could actually do that in a multi-storey high-rise building. And so that's quite popular now in countries like Japan and South Korea. And then finally, the fifth model is the digital cemetery. So this is the idea of integrating a technology layer that coexists with the cemetery as we know it. So enhancing graves, enhancing memorials through kind of digital technologies or even augmented reality. So they're kind of different directions that you can take the future cemetery in, but I think all of them will see some sort of manifestation in where whatever direction we go in.
Hannah, I'm just going to get you to hold on for a moment there. Dr. Hannah Gould is an anthropologist at the University of Melbourne, also president of the Australian Death Studies Society, and with us on ABC Radio Perth and WA Summer Breakfast with Lucy and Damien, because Tony has called in on 1300 222 720. Tony, what's your idea?
Well, my father is buried in Albany in the south, and I was at the grave only a little while ago. And I thought, what a waste of time, money, space, land, etc. I would rather have turned everything I have of him, pictures, videos, etc., into some sort of montage hologram that I could sit in a theatre and put a helmet on and actually go through at my speed of all of the things that I have of his. And I thought, if you multiply that, you could actually have a theatre set up where people booked time and plugged in their little device and sat there and revisited all of the things that that relative has that was of attraction to you.
Oh, such a creative idea. Thank you, Tony. Hannah, what do you think about Tony's idea?
Well, Tony, that's quite prophetic because it's really not too far off some of the designs that are being proposed for the digital cemetery. We have one idea, for example, coming out of Asia, where your loved ones can record a hologram video of themselves, you know, maybe telling a favourite story, a favourite recipe, giving some advice to future generations. And then you're able to deposit that recording, that hologram, I suppose, into the landscape where it can be accessed by people using an app on their smartphone. The way to kind of best explain it is kind of like Pokemon Go, right? So you're walking around the city with your phone and all of a sudden, you know, your phone might recognize a beacon, and that beacon is a recording that your ancestors have left you, a message that you've left you that you can then discover. So not very far off from what's actually coming down the pipeline for high-tech cemeteries.
Gosh, that's so interesting, isn't it? And I'm just imagining putting on a helmet and being sort of sent back in time almost. It is like a little bit of time travel, isn't it? 8 to 10 on ABC Radio Perth and WA. Dr. Hannah Gould, we have a renewal program underway here in Perth at Karrakatta Cemetery. And to be honest, it's been quite controversial because you only get a plot for 25 to 50 years. And if most of them in a particular area have expired, they put new graves in between the old ones, and the old headstones can be removed. They kind of do as much work as they can to contact relatives, and they don't dig up any old graves, but it's still been quite an upsetting process for some people. We are, I mean, once there's a traditional cemetery in place, I imagine that you might struggle to repurpose something like that. So are you talking about these ideas that you put forward for new projects only?
There's both, you know, both directions. One of them is that we have to think about new projects and where we can build new cemeteries because, you know, a lot of our cities around Australia are running out of space and we just do need to build new cemeteries. But there's also a question of what do we do with older cemeteries that are perhaps what we call legacy cemeteries. So when there's no new burials that are going on, and the graves are often quite old, maybe the people who are related to them or their family members and themselves no longer alive. And, you know, the gravestones are not being looked after. Those gravestones can become quite unsafe, particularly some of these really beautiful Victorian historic gravestones. You know, they can weather and topple and that sort of thing. So we do also need to consider what to do with our legacy cemeteries and how we can kind of restore them, I suppose, and in a kind of a weird way, how do we bring these legacy cemeteries back to life? Yeah, how do we make them relevant to the contemporary population so that we don't forget the history and so that those dead people aren't forgotten in many ways? So, look, I think it can be quite controversial, and a lot of very careful community consultation is required to make sure that people understand exactly what's going on and what's being done. But at the end of the day, it's also a really kind of quite difficult practical issue for cemeteries who are looking after these graves, who, you know, these graves have really been abandoned and they don't know what to do quite with them.
Dr. Hannah Gould is with us from the Australian Death Studies Society and the University of Melbourne. I've got a lot of text messages coming in, Hannah, on 0437 922 720. Chucky says, Pinneroo in the northern suburbs of Perth is an example of a beautifully planned cemetery. It's used for walking and exercising, full of kangaroos and birds and WA native plants. And Bruce says, they are very sacred cemeteries, never to be touched. And as for running out of land, just move to country areas. Australia's huge, you know, just look out beyond the cities. Is that a practical idea to simply go to the outskirts of a city or go to a regional area to create new cemeteries?
Look, it's certainly a potential option. You know, there's obviously a lot more space further out in rural cemeteries. A lot of the times people who are living in the inner city, if they're looking for a cheaper grave option, you know, or just more available graves, might go further and further out into rural areas. It's not always that simple, though. It's quite difficult a lot of the times for cemetery authorities to actually secure new land for graves because of the kind of regulations around where a cemetery can be located, and, you know, regulations around land conservation and use, for example. The other problem is that if we go further and further out from the city, I mean, we are moving our dead further and further away from the living. So if you're not part of a tradition where, you know, you have to regularly visit the grave or that's something that's part of your culture, then that might be okay. But for a lot of people, visiting the grave regularly and being with the dead is really important to them. And so, you know, the further and further out we go, perhaps poor public transport links, it makes the dead more inaccessible to the living. And I think that's something we have to think about instead of just looking for land.
Just before we let you go, Hannah, we've also got a text from Deb. It's asking about whether it's possible to do vertical burials. I thought this would be some sort of space saver. That to me sounds a little bit like what you were mentioning in Asia.
That was high-rise.
Oh, high-rise.
Or is Deb talking about
you mean
in the ground?
Standing, like, yeah, sort of a standing.
I guess so, yeah.
Both options are possible. So we have high-rise interments of ashes. So you can build kind of multi-storey columbarium and you can have multi-ashes stacked in multiple layers. Also in Victoria, we have what we think as a research team is the world's first and only upright burial service. So Upright Burials out in Tony Duplay runs a service out in Victoria and he basically digs a vertical shaft grave. He uses, I think, a post hole digger and he'll put you in feet first, facing whichever direction you wish. And those graves certainly do take a lot less space than horizontal traditional graves. So definitely possible and perhaps maybe spread to Perth one day as well.
It is so fascinating to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me on.
Dr. Hannah Gould from the University of Melbourne, also president of the Australian Death Studies Society.